before I get to my message. Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, unto Aaron and his sons, what further need was there that another priest should arise? If there was perfection by it, why do you need another priest? Especially one after the order of Melchizedek, and not called after the order of Aaron or through the Levites. For the priesthood then being changed, is what he's saying, there's made of necessity a change also of the law. If the priesthood changes, the law's got to change with it. For who he of whom these things are spoken about the priesthood changing pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar, never had anything to do with the priesthood. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Because God already said it in the Old Testament. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I want you to look there in verse 16, talking about Christ, made not after the law of a carnal fleshly commandment that deals with carnal things, eating, drinking, feast days, holy days, the keeping of the law. But he was made after the power of an endless life. That's my subject this morning, the power of an endless life. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ often spoke about his hour, the hour that he had, speaking of his death that was to come. You know, they come to take him, and he said no man was able to lay hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Let's look together in John 12. Let's look in John 12 and look at this thing called the hour of our Lord and what it was about. Our Lord Jesus Christ, John 12:23. You know, even when his mother came to him at the first miracle he performed when he turned the water into wine, he said to her, "Woman, what do you ask? What I have to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come." He told his mother that the first time it was spoken, John 2:4. But look what he said here in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit." And I tell you, our Lord Jesus says, "Now he that loveth his life," and our Lord loved not his life unto death, "but he that loveth his life shall lose it." He's going to die with Christ. Going to lose his life. "And all, man, he that hateth this life, his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." This world has nothing to offer for us. "And if any man serve me, let him follow me." And listen, I love this. "And where I am, there shall also my servant be." Where's our Lord now? The right hand of God. Where are we? Seated in the heavenlies with him. "And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now look down in chapter 13 in verse 1. He talked about his hour, talking about his death that should come. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." So our Lord talked about his life And we're looking at the power of an endless life. And when the hour came, when that hour came, the hour of His death, as our Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, dying, bleeding, hurting, suffering. When He was hanging there on the cross suffering, it didn't appear that He had an endless life. Didn't even appear that He had any power. And He say, hung there, bleeding, suffering, dying. His life looked like anything but an endless life. But, to those who know God, know the Lord Jesus Christ, know God's purpose in Christ, they can see and understand that His life reached back into eternity past and reaches always into eternity future. So He really did have an endless life. And when we say endless past and endless future, when you say eternity, you know, eternity has no beginning or end. So our Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. Always has been, always will be. He which was, which is, and which is to come. So when we say it looked like when He was on that cross, He had no endless life. But beloved, He has an endless past and an endless future. His life reaches all the way back and all the way forward. And that Aaron Levitical priesthood was after the power of a passing law. The law has to pass away. If the priesthood goes, then the law goes with it. All the carnal ordinances, all the washings, all the feasting, all the holy days, all the ceremonies, all the rituals, all that has to go. Even the Passover has to go. But this, our Lord's priesthood, the true Melchizedek, He was made after the power of an endless life, and He was made a priest after an oath. And these priests after Aaron, could not continue by reason of death. They all died. And the law passed away. How come? Christ fulfilled it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. But now Christ is alive forevermore. Our Lord Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, He said, I am alive. I was dead. But now I'm alive. And have the keys, and alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Of death. Now I tell you, He has an endless life. Our Lord has an endless life. But what I want us to see is not so much the endlessness of His life, but the power of it. He says the power of an endless life. So let's talk about the power of Christ and the power of His endless life. Now the power of His life gives life. Gives life. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ says the Father has the power to give life and quickeneth whom He will. Even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. And the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that are dead shall live. Now, beloved, men must have life given to them. We're talking about endless life, eternal life. Man can't create life. He can't do it. Only Christ can create life. We can pass on a natural life, but we can't pass on an endless life. We can't pass on an eternal life. If we can't create life within ourselves, only Christ can do that. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And our Lord said in Ephesians 1, He said, you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you remember When our Lord Jesus Christ was over in Judea, and they sent word to him, Mary and Martha, that he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, our Lord stayed there till Lazarus died. And when he went there, Martha said to him, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not have died. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, well, he's going to live again. Oh, I know, Lord, he is in the power and the resurrection in the last day. I know that's going to happen. And you know what he said? I'm the resurrection. We're not talking about a day. We're not talking about way back yonder. We're talking about right now. If anybody lives in this building today, it's because Christ said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And he that believeth on me hath life. Not going to get it, he's got it. And beloved, that's what happens. He is the resurrection. Dead men in his presence can't stay dead. And if you're dead in your sins, that's because Christ hasn't come to where you're at. And one of these days, bless his holy name, he'll do like he did Lazarus. He'll call you by name. And he'll do like Zacchaeus. He'll call you by name. And you come. And I tell you, the life he gives is an endless life. It's an everlasting life. And it's the life of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of eternal life. Let me say something about an endless life, an eternal life. Everybody that comes into this world is going to live eternally somewhere. Now, the scriptures tells there's eternal damnation. Everlasting damnation, everlasting death. And then there's everlasting life. And the difference between the two is the quality of it. Then those that perish, those that don't know God, don't know Christ, and won't believe on Christ, they're going to perish eternally and dying and never dying. But those who believe on Christ and Christ gives life to, that's the quality of life, the life of God. What better quality of life, what better life can you have than Christ in you, the hope of glory? It's not, we're going to live eternally somewhere, but our life, they got death, we have life. And the quality of the life is God Himself in us. And that's what makes our life have some quality even today as we live. That's what makes us enjoy living. That's what makes us life. That's what makes us come here is because the quality, we come, God in us comes here to hear God from His Word. Is that not right? And oh, listen, not only is this power of His life gives life, but the power of His life gives peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember when I didn't have any peace. I mean, not only didn't have peace, I didn't even... All I had was misery for years. I was talking to a fella yesterday, and he had a shirt on. It says, understand PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Young military man, got out of the military. I said, I understand what that is. I understand what it is. I understand what it is to be miserable. Not get over things. But boy, one day I heard the gospel. One day I heard Christ died for me. One day I heard that He put my sins away. And there was days that I'd get up and I'd get in my vehicle and drive all day long because I couldn't stand to not be doing something, going somewhere. Couldn't stand to even live with myself. But one day, God brought peace to my heart. I mean peace, quietness, assurance. Oh my. And you know, here's the first thing I remember, and I've told you all this before. I remember always trying to get on the good side of God. And I thought if I could get on the good side of God, I could have peace with God. Well, I found out peace was already made. He made peace through the blood of His blessed cross. The peace, the enmity that we had between us and God, Christ slew that enmity, done away with that enmity. He put peace between us and God. And when you understand that God's not angry with you anymore, then your heart goes to rest and your soul goes to rest and your heart and everything else about you has peace. Peace like a river. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father of love. And all, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And oh, look over here in Hebrews 9. We have peace of conscience. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like having peace of conscience. Nothing like it. Your conscience asks for anything else? Does your conscience ever bother you anymore? Peace of conscience. Having no guilt. If you ain't got no guilt, your conscience can't bother you. Look what it said here in Hebrews 9:12. Talking about our Lord. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of your flesh for a while. Now listen to this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, listen to it, purge your conscience from dead works. What? To serve the living God. Everything you ever tried to do to satisfy your own conscience, God said He slew it. You're not doing anything to get God to ease your conscience now, are you? Christ already did it. The blood of sprinkling is upon us. And He entered into that veil with His own blood. And you know that blood speaks? That blood speaks in heaven. He appears now in the presence of God for us. That blood speaks of salvation. That blood speaks to our heart. That blood speaks to our conscience. That blood speaks to our understanding. That blood speaks to our souls. That blood speaks to everything in heaven and earth. It speaks of salvation by a substitute. That Christ, when He died, He offered Himself without spot to God. That He by Himself purged our sins. And it speaks, that blood speaks of satisfaction. God's satisfied with Him. Now that, listen, whether you're satisfied with Him or not, that don't make any difference. Is God satisfied with Him? And when you understand God's satisfied with Him, you quit looking anyplace else for satisfaction. You look to the same place God's satisfied with. Oh, listen. And then it speaks of sin. Sin put away. Not sin tried to be put away. I hope my sins are gone. I'm going to do the best I can to get to the end of the way. And hopefully I'll get there. And then I'll be able to have enough to get me by. Sin put away. Where's that blood speak? There and here. Has that blood ever spoke to you? And oh my, peace with God. And then He is our peace. You know, Ephesians 2:4 says that Christ, who is our peace. Oh my. You know what the angel said when our Lord Jesus Christ was born? They began to sing, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. And I tell you what, there's another peace. You know, when you're in a war, and you know, when they World War II ended, they was on the Missouri, and there was an absolute total surrender. I mean, the Japanese had to absolutely surrender. They had to sign, if there was going to be peace on earth, if the war is going to end, there has to be an absolute, complete surrender. Nothing held back. Well, I tell you what, that's the way it is with God. Huh? I'm telling you, I surrender. I throw up both hands. Don't you? I surrender. Lord, you got all the power. I surrender. You got all the rights. I surrender. You want life? I surrender. You don't want to fight no more? I surrender. I give up. I surrender. I bow down. I give up all my guns. I give up all my rights. I give up everything about myself, and I surrender all to you. Is that right? And boy, what a wonderful peace. Oh boy. Let me tell you what. Not only does his power of his life give life, his power of give peace, but the power of his endless life is a sustaining power. A sustaining power. Now let me ask you this. It's one thing to have this life of Christ, but how in the world is it going to continue? How are you going to keep it? How are you going to keep this life? If Christ is, he gives us life and he gives us peace. Well, and how in the world is it going to go on, keep going on? How is it going to happen? What, you know, how is it going to continue? Man alive, you just think of yourself. How does it continue with you being who you are? Huh? There's so many things out there to destroy it. Oh, so many things to destroy it. But you know what our Lord said? Because I live, you shall live also. He said, my sheep, I know my sheep, and I give unto them eternal life. And you know what he said? And they shall never perish. Never. 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 He said, no man's able to pluck them out of my hand, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I tell you, beloved, Shirley and I was talking about on the way to service this morning. You know, Carmelites, they honestly believe, and a lot of Armenians do, they really believe you can be lost again. They really believe you can be lost again. You can lose your salvation. Now that would be a terrible thing to have to deal with. Afraid you're going to lose your salvation. Now, listen, if it depends upon you, yes, you ain't even got it. You ain't got nothing to lose. Ain't that right? You can't lose something you ain't got. So that's the first thing that they say, you know, say, well, I got saved, you know, and I got to keep on. But no, you can't lose something you ain't got. And let me tell you this. If Christ gives you life, and it's a birth, can you undo a birth? Oh my. But there's lots of things just to destroy this life. It wants to destroy this life. Sin. Oh, sin, you know, it once had dominion over us. And it still wants to have dominion over us. It still raises up its ugly head. It still, we hear the hiss of the serpent when we hear that word sin. And then there's Satan. I tell you what, old Diabolus. Slewfoot, the dragon, the devil, call him what you will, Satan. He hates us with a passion. He hates Christ with a passion. And there's nothing would suit him better than to come in and try to destroy a man. And then there's self. Oh my goodness, self. Self is awful. He's awful. Self-righteousness, self-confidence, self-esteem, self-love, self, 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 self. You know what our Lord just got through saying? He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life, he's going to gain it. I'll be glad when self is done away with. Oh, I'll be so glad of that. But self is the... You know self is... You know, when you hear that word self, the first thing you think of, selfish. Yeah. He's awful selfish. She's awful selfish. Wouldn't that be an awful thing for somebody to say about a believer? They're selfish. That'd be an awful thing to say about a believer. They're selfish. Oh, my. Surely... Nah, you wouldn't be that way. And then there's false preachers. Man, there's false preachers everywhere. False preachers everywhere. And in this flesh, it dwells no good thing. But I tell you, his has sustaining power. Because I live, you shall live also. He has promised us. He's promised us to keep us. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And listen to it. I love this, and I tell you it every time I say it. He that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, in no wise, under no circumstances, in no way, no matter what happens in their life, will I not cast them out. Oh my. I've done enough that God could have cast me out 10,000 times. But he's not cast me out. He's not cast me out. Now not only he said I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He ain't going to lose us, and then he's going to raise us up at the last day. And then he's got the power. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He said, Father, thou hast given him power that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. When our Lord prayed in John 17, you know what he said? I pray for them. Who? Them that thou hast given me. I pray not for the world, but for them thou hast given me. And he said, Father, all that thou hast given me I've kept and lost not one of them, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And not only has he promised and he has the power, but he has the will. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And why? Why you won't be where they are? To behold my glory. To behold my glory. And oh my, life-giving power, peace-giving power, sustaining power, and then his power of his endless life is a comfort, comfort-giving power. Such a comfort-giving power. Oh my, a lot of people need a lot of comfort. There's people now that need comfort. They need comfort. And Christ can give comfort. Now look with me over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Talking about comfort. Giving power. They waited for the consolation of Israel. We have a strong consolation. Strong, great assurance and comfort. He gives us comfort to live by and comfort to live with. Comfort. Now when we talk about comfort, we're not talking about comfort the way the world describes comfort. So we have, you know, people say, boy, we got all the comforts of life. We're not talking about chairs and cars and homes and easy chairs and things like that. We're not talking about earthly comforts. We're talking about spiritual comfort. Heart comfort. Comfort of heart and soul. And a lot of people here go through a lot of things. A lot of sickness, a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. A lot of things go on in their life. Now, we would love to comfort them. And we pray for them. But you know who really comforts them? I know when Daryl and Joyce was up there at the hospital, they talked, you know, as sick as he was, they said, "Boy," said, "you all awful calm. Y'all don't get upset about things." Where'd they get the comfort that don't get upset? Where's that come from? It's not natural to us. You know what's natural to us? Biting our fingernails off to the quick. That's what's natural to us. You know what's natural to us? Lay in bed at night trying to figure out how in the world we're going to deal with this, deal with that, and deal with the other thing. But oh, we're talking about that spiritual comfort. That heart comfort. That soul comfort. And oh, look what it says here in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and listen to this, the God of all comfort. Oh, when you watching things fall apart all around you, who comes? The God of all comfort. Huh? All comfort. If there's any comfort, spiritual comfort, it comes from God. Huh? And oh my. And listen to this. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. You know our kids, when they get in trouble and they do things and get hurt and stuff like that, we comfort them. They come to us for comfort. They come for us to hug them, to tell them everything, you know, and to get to see that things are taken care of. Husbands, wives come to their husband for comfort. Husbands go to their wife for comfort. And this is not just a fleshly comfort, it's a heart comfort. It's a need. And listen, he said here that he comforts us in all our tribulations, all our trials, and he does it for this reason, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You, when you go through trouble yourself, then you understand what it is when somebody else is in trouble. You can identify with them. You can pray with them. You can understand with them. You got children trouble? Everybody's had children trouble. You got health issues? People have had to listen. That's why God comforts us, so when somebody else is in trouble, we can call and comfort them. Or go where they are and comfort them. And he says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves, and this is the same place we're going to give them the comfort, same place we did, from God. From God. Oh my. Comfort giving power. When our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul come to him and said, oh, God sent him a thorn of Satan to buffet him. And he prayed 3 times, "Lord, take it away from him." You know what our Lord said to him? He said, "I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it right there." Why? My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect. And you have no power at all. When you're weak, that's when I get all the glory. Huh? And Paul said, "Who's weaker than me?" Me. Me. And oh, I tell you, let me give you some comfort. We have comfort for our past. God forgives us all our sin. Not only does He forgive them, but He forgets them. He forgets them. You know, I know people's like, they say an elephant never forgets anything. I know people's like elephants. They don't ever forget nothing. Especially anything done to them wrong. You know. But God comforts our past. He forgives and He forgets. And then we have comfort right now in our present life. Huh? Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Huh? And you know what that tells us? That He controls everything. And oh, what comfort for the present. And He does it for our good. And I'll tell you something else. We have comfort for the future. Oh my, we have comfort for the future. I was talking to dear brother Greg Elmquist this week. He said, we have to take life one day at a time. We don't know what our future is. We really, truly don't. We really don't. And Job said it like this. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he said this thousands of years before Christ came. I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him with these eyes. If he had his hope in Christ and his future was in Christ thousands of years before Christ came, what about us after he's come? Huh? You know, Henry Mahan, he would never sit and watch a live basketball game or football game. He wouldn't do it. He recorded it and then he'd watch it later. Even if somebody told him they won, he'd still watch it. But he couldn't watch it while it was going on because it would stress him out. He didn't like it. He recorded it. And they wouldn't watch it till they know who won. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know, we know how the game ends. We know how it ends. We know how the game ends. We know who won the victory. We know who won. We know the end of the story. We know how the ball game ends. Huh? I know, I tell you one time, we was up at Todd's, and me and David Pledger was up there in a meeting, and Todd had scheduled it when the Final Four was on. Kentucky was in the championship game. And David and I went in a store to get something to take home with us. And while we was in there, it was just almost like a funeral in there. I mean, everybody was so sad. Everybody had big old long faces. Well, what's the matter? I said, you ain't heard? I said, no. Kentucky lost. Kentucky lost. Todd had recorded that game. And he is going to watch it. Me and David went in that house knowing how the game ended. And never said a word to nobody. Just sat there and watched the ball game with him. Had a big time. You know, we couldn't tell him. You know, we wouldn't tell him. We knew how the ball game ended. But listen, our Lord didn't lose. He won. He won the victory. He gained the victory. He defeated every foe. He defeated every enemy. And I tell you, those that are in him, they've got the same thing he has. The power of an endless life. And let me hurry on. And this power of our Lord's endless life satisfies the soul. It really satisfies the soul. It satisfies the soul. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he shall see the travail of his soul shall be satisfied. I'm satisfied. I am truly, truly satisfied. And I know you are with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost. Now, what's the uttermost? From the day you save till the day he takes you, there's no uttermost end to the uttermost of what God can do and Christ can do in Christ. That don't mean, you know, that he saves them that's the utter lowest. That means he saves to the uttermost. I mean, he saves until salvation's not needed anymore in glory. And when a soul has Christ, when a soul has life in Christ, it doesn't want anything else. It doesn't want any more. That soul doesn't need any more. That soul's not looking for anything more. You are complete in Him. Perfect in Him. I tell you what we become. We become monomaniacs. You know what mono is? Means one. Monomaniacs. One thing. Paul said, this one thing I do. There's one way, one door, one life, one Savior, one mediator. one sacrifice, once and for all. Once. When you have that once, you're not looking for nothing else. <Are you? laughs> Oh, they all them disciples turned and walked away, and they said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Where would we go?" Fella picking on his base, you know, just plucking on the base. They said, "Boy," said, "ain't you got any other note you can play?" And he said, "Nope, that's the only one I know." And that's what we are. We're Johnny One Note. Boom, 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 boom. We just pluck on the same string with the same note, don't we? Oh, I tell you what. When He becomes your bread, you don't hunger anymore. When He becomes the water of life, you don't thirst anymore. When He becomes your light, you don't sit in darkness anymore. When He becomes your life, you're not dead anymore. Huh? When He becomes your eyes, you can only see Him. Huh? And then let me end with this. His power gives us a blessed, blessed, blessed hope. Huh? Gives us a blessed hope. I want you to look in 2 Timothy 1. Just go back to your left just a little bit. 2 Timothy 1. You know, when our Lord said His life is endless, He's able to take an endless care of His own. Look what the apostle says here. Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now listen to this. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Life promised in Christ. Huh? Oh my. And in His endless life, He's able to take care. Now turn on over here to 2 Thessalonians. Just go over to the left just a little bit. And look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. His power gives us such a blessed, blessed hope. Blessed hope. What a blessed hope we have. What a glorious hope we have. Look what he says here in verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Ah, I like that. Himself. And God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. And listen to this. A good hope through grace. A good hope through grace. Oh, that's a, you know, if it's through grace, then that means we ain't got nothing to do with it. We can't mess it up. As old Bruce Crabtree said one time, we can't mess it up. We can't mess it up. And I, you know, Paul said, he said, "He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Our hope is sure. Our hope is steadfast. Our hope is strong. Not because we're sure. Not because we're steadfast. Or not because we're strong. But because He is.
Amen.
He is. Huh? Paul said, "I'm persuaded that whatsoever I committed unto Him against that day, He is able to keep it unto the day of Jesus Christ." And you know, this blessed hope gives us the hope of being changed one day in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. David said it like this, "When I awake in your likeness, I'll be satisfied." Mm-hmm. "And when the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise, and they'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and shall forevermore be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." Amen. Oh, our Master. Oh, our blessed Savior. Oh, our gracious God. How wondrously gracious. How wonderfully merciful. How wonderfully loving. How wondrously forgiving. And oh Lord, to be able to speak of you, talk of you, rejoice in you, find you to be all in all. God, may that be so to them that are here. If someone's heard the gospel today, let them tell us. Let there be a confession of their faith in Christ. Oh Lord Jesus, if you've been pleased to open a heart, we'll praise you and bless you. And if you haven't, we'll praise you and bless you. We thank you and praise you for Christ our Lord and the salvation you give in Him through your precious grace. For Christ's sake, we bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that...